The show you're about to listen to may contain themes of violence, occult activity, strong language, and other sensitive material. Viewer discretion is advised. I strive to tell stories in a truthful manner, but press, media, and other sources cannot be verified. Sources can be found in the show notes. Hello guys, it's Bria, and today's episode is going to be a little different, as it's just me. I'm sending a quick shout out to Tegan for supporting me in branching out like this. It means a lot to me, and hopefully we can get more specialized episodes out like this. Now on to the special episode of Brain Soup. This episode's going to be about mortuary. I personally deal with a bit of death anxiety, and to help me with those feelings, I decided I wanted to know what it looks like in a profession dealing with death. The modern funeral home didn't exist prior to the Civil War. During the war, the demand for funeral services to transport fallen soldiers from American battlefields surged. According to the Funeral Source organization, American physician Dr. Auguste Renard was an early pioneer of the field of embalming. His work made it possible for the soldiers' bodies to be transported home to families for burial. In 1880, Dr. Renard founded the United States College of Embalming. In the early 1900s, the National Funeral Directors Association designated funeral directors as professionals to differentiate them from tradesmen, such as coffin makers. Many furniture stores that sold coffins also ran a funeral business as well to meet the demands of their communities. The demands for funeral directors grew as the funeral industry evolved. Most funeral homes provided living quarters for the funeral director and his family within the same building. In the U.S., there are 19,136 funeral homes. 89.2% of those funeral homes are privately owned. Only 10.8% of funeral homes are publicly traded funeral home corporations. On average, calls per funeral home is 113. And the average number of funeral home employees is 3 full-time and 4 part-time. While a mortician's main responsibility is preparing bodies of the deceased, they also take stress off of grieving families by setting up funerals and communicating with cemeteries and hospitals. They handle important paperwork and deal with a lot on a daily basis. Both of my guests have a little bit of experience with everything in this field. In this podcast, I will be talking to two people in the industry, Livy Hernandez.
I am Livy Hernandez. And I am going to be studying mortuary science in the fall. Basically, just work at a funeral home, be like a mortician.
And Whitney Blue, who was in the field but has since left.
So my name is Whitney Blue. I'm originally from Rockford, Illinois, currently live in Denver, Colorado. I was in the funeral industry for about 15 years exact when I left. Kind of ranged from starting at the bottom, being an intern, working all the way up to a location manager before I left. And now I run major sporting events.
I want to learn from these two about the different stages of this career. Starting right from the beginning, I want to learn why they wanted to be morticians. Licensed workers in the mortuary field often say they are driven by a desire to do good and bring peace for grief-stricken people. Whitney says that this was her passion, and she never thought when she was growing up that this would have been her career for 15 years.
Because, you know, most people choose a job or a career, something they've been interested in, you know, growing up. And I can tell you right off the bat, I never thought in a million years I would be a funeral director. That's not what I thought I'd be as I was growing up as a kid. I use the saying that this job chose me. I didn't choose it. It's literally how it happened. I was very interested in anatomy in high school, knew I didn't want to go down the medical field though.
Yeah.
Was kind of just exploring what my options are, and death never really bothered me. I wasn't afraid of it. I wasn't scared of it. So I decided to, once I left high school, I went into forensic anthropology in college. From there, transitioned to crime scene investigation and just kind of all of the different fields that surrounded that, but nothing was really clicking for me. So my high school anatomy teacher, Mr. Buell at Guilford High School, he's now retired, which makes me sad, but I'm glad he's enjoying life. He introduced me to Jennifer Morawski. She was currently working, she was a funeral director at Olson's Funeral Home. She's currently, if I'm correct, the Winnebago County coroner. So I'm so proud of her. But mm-hmm. She introduced me to her, She kind of told me about the mortuary industry, funeral industry, and invited me to come intern. So I was under both Jen and Scott Olson for about 2 years. They also got me connected with Winnebago County Coroner, and I was a medical examiner for 2 years. So yeah, that was just kind of an introduction into that side of things.
Livy decided that this career was for her because of a personal reason.
It's a little morbid, but my grandma has a terminal illness, and I went to cosmetology school. So my parents asked me if when she does pass, if I would be interested in doing like her hair and makeup. So like kind of through cosmetology school and like that side of it is what kind of sparked the interest. And then I asked for an internship at a local funeral home, and it just kind of went from there.
Morticians are well versed in mortuary law and legal regulations that govern funeral practices. They ensure that all the necessary permits, paperwork, and documentation are in order, adhering to local, state, and federal laws. This includes acquiring death certificates and arranging for proper burial and cremation procedures. Mortuary law expertise allows morticians to navigate the intricacies of funeral processes, providing families with peace of mind. Though the job is rewarding, it can get crazy. People don't stop dying, so funeral directors and morticians don't stop working. The hours are long and emotions are heavy. Burnout is common in this field.
Funeral industry is not an easy job by any means. There's a lot of people who want to do it because of that reward factor. They have experienced death and know how helpful a funeral director can be, or they've just been drawn to it always, and they just want to be able to help people. But the amount of emotional toll that it can have on you, the stress, the hours, the demands, it can be exhausting. And we probably saw high turnover rates within the first year or two. I mean, there's so many people who want to do it but got burnt out within the first year or two. So if you find that those rare people who can continue to do it year after year and still, you know, remain solid for those families, strong for those families, compassionate, honorable, it's very rare. And that's why I knew I needed to keep doing what I was doing. I definitely think you need a strong support system. You create a very tight-knit group in your workplace at the funeral home. Because if you can think about it, there's not... The outside world doesn't know what we do. The outside world doesn't understand what we do. Half the time I would introduce myself to somebody, I'd say, oh, hi, I'm Whitney. And they're like, what do you do for work? Oh, I'm a funeral director. I would get that glazed glass-eyed look, and they'd nod and they'd walk away. So I couldn't go to most of my friends or just outside people and tell them about my stressful day or tell them about this thing that happened at work, because they just couldn't relate. So that family that you create at work who understands what you've been through, understands the stress, is everything. And I had such an amazing group of people at both of the funeral homes I've worked at. And whether it's just we're venting or we're, you know, crying and sharing stories or just supporting each other and lifting each other up and doing what we can, it's that meant everything to me.
A death can be a dramatic time for families. Funeral industry workers want to be there to help, but sometimes they get pulled into unwanted family drama that they have nothing to do with.
Typically, for arrangements, you just like meet with the families. If all goes well, it's not typically an issue. I've had families like who are fighting over power of attorney, and people will come in fighting over like the estate. And that has nothing to do with us. We just want to we want you to be able to say goodbye to your loved ones as nicely, as easily as possible.
I've been in the middle of family feuds where I've had to excuse myself from the room until they figured things out because, you know, emotions just kick in.
Whitney says that a crazy part of the job was just dealing with families' requests. When a family member or friend passes away, most people want to see them exactly how they remember them. Some people take it a step above.
you've seen the TV shows, you've seen, you know, there's definitely books out there. Mm-hmm. Us as funeral directors joke all the time that literally each of us could probably create a book or journal on the crazy stuff that has happened at work. And it's just, it's one of those, like, group it in all together. It's just the fact that grief makes people do crazy things. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely no judgment. We have no control over it, right? And everybody's going to grieve their own way. I've been asked to, like, not bathe or clean up a loved one after picking them up from the coroner's office because they absolutely needed to see them exactly how they were. And I'm like, that's not what I recommend. But we find ways to give families exactly what they need, but also with, like, being mindful of not traumatizing them either. You know, people that have been dead for way too long and their bodies are not in the best condition. Yeah. They've been decomposing and they're like, no, we still want a full, you know, open casket viewing. You need to do cosmetics and embalm them and do all the things. And it's like, okay, also not the greatest thing. So it's just kind of seeing and handling the crazy requests that come at you. You never tell a family it's crazy.
Mortuary science refers to the pursuit and application of knowledge relating to the deceased, the preparation of bodies for burial, the emotions of the grieving process, and the general operations behind a funeral home. These are some of the many pieces that go into a mortuary science degree. With all this knowledge, people can pursue careers as a funeral director, mortician, or embalmer. As Livy mentioned, she will be starting mortuary school in the fall. For people studying mortuary science, school may look a little different.
We do take some gen eds of, like, science and math, and then it'll be, like, psychology, anatomy. Obviously, there's a whole course for, like, embalming and prep work, just kind of stuff like that. We do have to take a week because it's all mostly by the book. There's only 1 week where we physically are, like, in the morgue where we, like, get to practice embalming and things like that.
This field was once primarily dominated by men, but now 57% of mortuary students are women. This statistic makes Livy feel empowered.
Yeah, it definitely makes me proud of us, for sure. At the funeral home I worked at, I would say all of the older people were definitely men, but any, like, newcomers, all of the interns, all of the, like, newest funeral directors, we were all women, so you can definitely, like, see it for sure. Go us.
Every funeral home is different. Whitney has experienced two types, a bigger funeral home and a smaller local funeral home. She also went to school years ago. She talks a little bit about embalming and why everyone's body's different and how embalming is a true science. Morticians have a keen eye for detail and possess talent for restorative arts. Whether it's repairing traumatic injuries or working to minimize visible effects of illness, morticians apply their skills to ensure that the diseased appearance is as close to their natural state as possible. Contrary to popular belief, embalming goes beyond just preserving the deceased. It also involves disinfection, restoration, and cosmetic work to ensure a serene and natural appearance. Makeup for the dead is different than makeup for the living. Makeup for the dead is more thick, while makeup for the living can be more thin.
Yeah. So when I worked for Scott Olson at Olson Funeral Home, like, it was what I would call a smaller funeral home where you do a little bit of everything there. Totally. So we would pick up loved ones from their home or their hospital. We would immediately take them back and we would embalm them, you know, kind of start the preparations, do the arrangements, and then work the services and you did everything. Where when I came out to Colorado, it was a much larger operation that they were able to break up the jobs. So they had people dedicated to just embalming and just doing cosmetics.
Okay.
And then they had people dedicated to just meeting with the families, making the arrangements, and doing the funeral services. And that's what I ended up doing, was that aspect, interacting with the families. But for schooling, obviously I still did have to get trained in embalming. So I can speak to, like, that little aspect of it.
Yeah.
And the easiest way to explain it is it's a true science. The chemicals that we have to work with, it's not like you can just use the same mixture on everybody and they all turn out the same way. It's everybody's body is going to react differently depending on, you know, what was in their body. Had they just, you know, been on an IV? Have they been in a really warm house for 3 days? Have they, you know, are they sensitive to dehydration? What is their skin tone? All of these different things play into the mixture you create with those chemicals. And so you kind of have to, by just looking at it, determine what this body needs. Again, you can't just use the same thing every time. So I definitely say it is a science. And then you could have somebody that's super easy. The first cut that you make, the first incision, you start embalming and you embalm them completely. We call them a one pointer. And then you have, you know, little old ladies that unfortunately you have to do 8 incisions on because she just has some complications and she's not going to easily embalm, and you have to get them from different veins, different arteries, things like that. So it's a pure science. It takes time, dedication. And then it's not just even that process of it, of like replacing the blood with the embalming fluid. It's even the little things, like a really, really good embalmer pays attention to the details. So we've used like web roll, which is like a thick cotton, and you'll kind of wet it a little bit, and you would put that on their face to just help lift their cheeks a little bit, and it kind of gives them a smirk. I mean, if anyone thinks about like laying down, especially older people, your wrinkles and everything just kind of hangs that way. So to make them look a little bit more alive and in real again, almost, it's having just a little bit of a smirk on your face makes the biggest difference. Sometimes, again, depending on how embalming is reacting to your body and or just the circumstances around your passing away, you'll get swelling like around your neck or your face. And to battle that, we can use a towel and just fight that swelling from happening. But it's, again, watching the body as you're embalming, paying attention to the details, and just taking time and care in doing that.
Whitney left the funeral industry a few years ago, but she is still a very knowledgeable source on the topic. At the end of our interview, she left some wise words for new funeral directors.
I mean, especially for any new funeral directors or morticians coming into the industry, just always remember why you're doing the work that you're doing. Think of the families that you're serving. What if it was your own mom, you know, that you were caring for, and just don't lose sight of that. Don't lose sight of the reason why. And that's my most important thing I can pass on.
Whitney and Livy are both very hardworking women who have passion for this field. Though they are both in different spaces of their career, they are very knowledgeable, and I appreciate them doing this podcast with me. This last segment that I want to do is called a coffin spinner. This is just a crazy story that happened in the midst of a funeral home. This story took place in 2013 in Ireland. The story is about an Irish undertaker who was transporting a deceased passenger somewhere. Now, in a hearse and on the rollers for a casket, there are little brakes that you need to lock after putting the casket into a car. The undertaker forgot to lock these brakes on the rollers. What happened next is a bit grim. As the driver of the hearse drove, the man, Sean, who was driving behind the funeral director, saw the coffin slip out of the back window of the hearse because the locks were not locked. It shattered the glass, and the picture is quite a bit unbelievable. The hearse driver didn't know what to do, so he called help. The people driving behind him saw and helped him put the coffin back into the hearse. There was, in fact, a dead person inside of the coffin. But then the driver just drove away like nothing happened after his back window was smashed. The funeral business is a $16 billion a year industry. Mortuary science is not just the study of the deceased. It is the study of everything that happens within a funeral home. It is the study of embalming, management, and service work all in one. They all relate to post-mortem events, and every funeral director has to learn them. This requires a very special person in this career. This person has to be empathic of what is going on in these families' lives at the moment. They have to support those grieving families during the challenging times. They have skills in grief counseling and community engagement, and that demonstrates diverse skills and an important role that morticians play in honoring the deceased and supporting those grieving families. Without the help of these morticians, embalmers, and funeral directors, families would not get to lay their loved ones to rest peacefully. This is what I leave you with for this episode of Brain Soup.